Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, a Wednesday morning, to look back on a Tuesday night of doubleheader action around the association. One spot in the conference finals has now been booked. Congratulations to the Indiana Pacers. And one series is trending to be our most competitive so far in the second round of the NBA postseason. We had one game on the ice last night in the Stanley Cup playoffs and a huge day of sports news everywhere else. And DRS, let's dive right into it, because on this Wednesday, it is officially schedule release day in the National Football League. By this evening, all 32 NFL teams will know the entirety of their 18-week regular season schedule for 2025. The dates, the time, where they are going to be, all of that good stuff. And it starts with a marquee matchup on Turkey Day. The Dallas Cowboys, a staple of Thanksgiving football in the NFL, will host the Kansas City Chiefs. How about that for a Thanksgiving Day marquee?
That's a good one there. Like, we can sink our teeth into that. We always know it's going to be the Dallas Cowboys. We just want an intriguing matchup, and you certainly got that there with Patrick Mahomes and the losers of the last Super Bowl to the Philadelphia Eagles teeing it up on Thanksgiving Day. That's the way we love it in America. Food, football, and family. It's perfection.
The Dallas Cowboys in a couple of marquee matchups that have already been unveiled as a part of the early schedule release. Of course, in the season debut, not against the Super Bowl losers, but the Super Bowl winners and the reigning champions in the Philadelphia Eagles. Dallas, a 6.5-point dog for that. We'll see what the early line is at the Star as the Cowboys will host the Chiefs on Thanksgiving Day. I think on paper, one of the better Cowboys versus opponent matchups on Turkey Day in the last few years. Elsewhere, DRS, we dive right in to the NBA. Last night, game number 5 in the land. The Cleveland Cavaliers, with Donovan Mitchell in the fold, booked as an 8.5-point home favorite on the brink of elimination after a historic 64-win season. And the Cavs got off to a monumental start, an early 19-point lead early in the second quarter, but the Pacers show their might, and they are headed back to the Eastern Conference Finals for a second consecutive season with the victory yesterday in Cleveland, 114-105. Indiana wins outright as an 8.5-point road dog to pull off the gentleman's sweep over the 64-win Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, watched a lot of this game last night. And understand this. Like, I was ready to fire off that tweet, Ben, in the first quarter. Like, oops, looks like we got a game number 6 headed back to Indiana. It looked like it was going to be that type of blowout where the Pacers would have just rolled over in the second half. But they didn't. They stormed all the way back, made all the plays they needed to make. And also, just taking a look at some of the players who did some damage. Tyrese Haliburton. You want to talk about the guy you need to step up in the biggest moments? He certainly did that. Great shot after great shot. They shot 50% as a team on the road in a closeout game situation, which is exactly what you wanted. We'll get more into the Cleveland Cavaliers, but it was pretty clear. Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell gutted it out. They just weren't healthy. And if you're not healthy, you're not going to be quality basketball teams. And that's what happened last night.
Injury is a part of the story, of course, for the Cavaliers in this playoff run. But a third consecutive exit in round number 2, to me, that is the story. We'll discuss what it means for Spud, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Kenny Atkinson, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. But the Indiana Pacers, 10 games only in this playoff run, 8 victories and a second consecutive berth in the Eastern Conference Finals. How about our other game? 5 last night in Oklahoma City, tied at 2 games apiece between the Thunder and the Nuggets. Denver won 3 of the 4 quarters, except the most important of those 4, the 4th and final, in which OKC dominated on its home floor, winning the 4th stanza by 15 total points for a 7-point victory. The Thunder take a decisive 3-2 series lead, but Denver does cover as a double-digit underdog on the road.
Yeah, couldn't get a feel for this game, but it was a fantastic finish in the 4th quarter. Understand this. You can't go on the road in an environment where you got to win, which turns into a best of 3, and shoot 28% from the 3-point line. That'll doom you right away. But you are right, Ben. First quarter win, second quarter win, third quarter win. Just don't implode in the 4th quarter. That's exactly what Denver did. And the nail in the coffin, that late 3-point shot by SGA to give him what, Ben? 31 total points. Yeah. Man's not allowed to get to 35, and he can't score less than 27. He's right in his range.
Death taxes Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scoring somewhere between 28 and 33 points, as DRS mentioned. A much better scoring game for Nikola Jokic. A much more efficient performance out of the Joker. 44 points on 17 of 25 shooting. Just not enough when it counted most against OKC. The Thunder, a crucial 3-2 series lead in a series that seems destined for 7. We'll discuss in just a little bit. The news we were waiting for on the injury front yesterday, DRS. Jason Tatum undergoing surgery to repair a ruptured Achilles tendon in his right leg on Tuesday afternoon. Of course, Tatum is out for the remainder of this postseason, and it puts his 2025-26 campaign very much in doubt as well.
This puts a lot of things in doubt for the Boston Celtics. Understand this, an ownership group change. You're like, why would you be on the top of the mountain and want to sell as an owner? How about over $500 million payroll coming up for the Celtics, where the whispers now are like, well, they were going to make changes anyway at this point. I can't wait to see what we turn out to be the Boston Celtics lineup next year. If we're looking at that type of price tag without Tatum possibly for the entire season, unbelievably devastating injury on a team we thought would possibly win the championship this year, and we don't even know what team's going to show up on the court next year.
And for a guy that has been relatively healthy throughout his 8 years in the NBA, 706 regular in postseason games for Jason Tatum since he entered the association in 2017. Nobody has played more games than that. A big day in baseball. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred lifting the ban on deceased players like Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson, setting the stage, DRS, for a potential appointment in Cooperstown for MLB's all-time hits leader.
There are things to agree with in this, and there are things to disagree with this. And I'm glad we have a segment coming up on that, because we would take a lot of time on this. Pete Rose is a flawed individual, but the question is, what did you do off the field and what did you do on the field? And the one thing we can never get ourselves over, if you bet on baseball, bet your own team when you were involved, you should never get to the Hall of Fame. So we'll figure that out here in just a little bit.
It sets the stage for it. It's not just Pete Rose, of course, being inducted into Cooperstown immediately. Paul Skenes, DRS, the ace of the Pittsburgh Steelers, will pitch in the 2026 World Baseball Classic for Team USA.
You know what? You probably expect me to rip this and be like, how could they let him do it? Paul Skenes, enjoy. It's the one time you're ever going to be around other good major league ball players. I'll watch Paul Skenes pitch, because the minute he pitches in that World Baseball Classic, then goes back to Pittsburgh and feels like he's back in AAA or AA, let him pitch on a big stage where he's actually going to pitch meaningful baseball. I like it, Skenes. One of the few times I'll agree this is the type of player that actually should be pitching in a meaningful moment and not playing for the Pittsburgh Pirates in absolute meaningless moments.
A big 48 hours in Dallas. The Stars, a 3-1 win, take a commanding 3-1 series advantage over the Winnipeg Jets. And I guess this is news, but when Nico Harrison is calling the shots, maybe it is. The Mavericks will not trade the number 1 overall pick and intend on selecting Cooper Flagg. All right, NBA playoff action next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
A doubleheader of Game 5s last night in the NBA postseason, where both of our one seeds in our respective conferences on their home floor, one trying to take a series lead, the other trying to stave off elimination. We start in Oklahoma City in a series tied at 2 games apiece between the Thunder and the Nuggets. In DRS, if you are looking at the box score on this Wednesday morning and a recap of the Tuesday nightcap, it's very clear to see what the difference was between Oklahoma City and Denver. It was that fourth and final quarter that OKC won by 15, despite the Nuggets winning the opening 3 quarters of the basketball game last night. OKC rallies, showing its postseason might once again with a 112-105 win over Denver. This game was tight, a one-possession game in the final minute of regulation in some clutch free throws down the stretch from OKC to ice things away in a huge dagger three-pointer out of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a part of a 31-point performance. OKC in a decisive of Game 5 now holds a 3-2 series lead with a 7-point victory. Denver covers as a 10-point road underdog. A total of 221 in a hook barely stays under. But the storyline, OKC, a monumental fourth quarter to give them a series advantage over the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing, too, because if you're looking at that game last night, there are no moral victories when you get into the playoffs, right? Denver's not going to say, like, oh, we played it close, and but no, they won a championship just a few short years ago. But understand this. To me, Ben, it's a little bit of a moral victory last night for the Denver Nuggets. Now, did they wish they won that game and had a chance for game number 6 to close out of their home court? Sure they did. But that was one of those games where yesterday I came into and tried to handicap and say, this could go any which way, but leading with OKC by 25 plus points, because that's what you're supposed to do as the number one overall seed and the number one team in the NBA does in a decisive game against a team that you can blow out and have blown out already in a game in this series. And the fact that Denver said, you know what, that energy is going to be high in the first quarter, don't matter, we're going to win that. Ooh, second quarter here, we'll win it by a point. Okay, we're up with a bucket at the break, but that's a victory for them. Then they go on the third quarter and extend that lead only to drop it in the fourth quarter. Oh, it's devastating. Yes, I understand that. But for me overall, Ben, I look at that and say to myself, we're going to go back and win game number 6. And we played you close here in game number 5. We think we can take game number 7 in your building. They lost. That's terrible. They covered. Jokic was tremendous. They blew a lead, all of that. But I still think that we're going to get a game number 7 now back in OKC.
I do understand the point, DRS. I also do believe if you are Denver, you're really kicking yourselves because you dropped this game in the fourth quarter and you had a lead in game 4 on your home floor in the fourth quarter. And what has our thing always been with this young OKC's core, who has been the number one seed in the Western Conference each of the past 2 playoff runs? Do they have the playoff pedigree? Have they earned that postseason experience to pull these sort of games out, trailing by 8 with just under 8 minutes remaining in the fourth and final quarter? Can they rally? Can they come back? Can they force their will on a team that won an NBA championship just 2 years ago? The last 2 games, that's been a resounding statement out of Oklahoma City. So, DRS, I also think there's the other way of looking at it, where the Thunder have kind of showed their might, and they have proven something in these growing experiences in both games 4 and 5. But Donnie's not wrong. Denver has covered in 4 of the 5 games in this series. The Nuggets have been incredibly competitive, and they've already won a game in Oklahoma City, the opening game of this second round set. And DRS, when you look at the stars showing out last night, as we always say, death taxes, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scoring somewhere between 28 and 34 points. He had 31 last night, including clutch buckets down the stretch and a dagger three that really extended the advantage for the Thunder with just about 47 ticks remaining in regulation. Nikola Jokic, though, 42 points, 22 boards in game number one, DRS, really had struggled in games two through four, shooting just 33% from the floor in those three games, much more efficient and prolific last night. 44-point performance, 17 of 25 from the floor. It was everybody else for the Nugs that still had those offensive woes.
Yeah, exactly. Michael Porter Jr., designated three-point shot guy, 0 for 5 from 3, 1 of 7 from the floor. A two-point performance. You just can't have that. And also, the guy that I like the best to say, you know what? He's bulletproof. Whether or not it's a blowout your direction or in the opposite direction. That's a second straight stinker for Russell Westbrook yesterday. 20 minutes played. He also went 1 of 7 from the field, 0 for 3 for three-point range. Only 4 total points. Man, you gotta get some help from your bench in big moments, and they just didn't get any help for the Denver Nuggets. But once again, you can't shoot the three-point shot like they did as a team and expect to beat a really good team on the road. They had their chances. They just didn't make the shots here. Outside of Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray absolutely burning it on both ends there. Fantastic stuff. Yeah. But you need more than that. You're not playing the fifth, sixth, or seventh seed. You're playing the number one seed in their own building. You got to shoot at least 35% from three. If you did, you would have won the game. They didn't. They lost.
Yeah, DRS, it's a great point, right? Because neither team was good offensively on Sunday at altitude. OKC won the game and was 35% from the floor, shooting 24% from three. Denver as a team, 31% field goal percentage on Sunday in game four. Nikola Jokic yesterday, 17 of 25 from the field. That's about 68%. The rest of the team, shy of 32% in their field goal shooting. And a story for OKC in the poor offensive outing in game four in Denver, nobody outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored more than 11 points yesterday. Everybody in the starting five for Mark Daigneault and company with at least double digits. A really good performance out of the Thunder. And Donnie, this is a team that was not only the best record in the NBA, 68 wins in the regular season, but the best covered team in the association throughout the regular season. They covered in their first two games of the playoffs, blowing out the Memphis Grizzlies. They've covered just once now in their last seven games.
Yeah, they're a little inflated on their point spreads, no doubt about it. And if you're looking for a game number seven, look no further than game number six. Guess who's favorite in Denver? Yeah, that's the Oklahoma City Thunder here, looking to win and cover, get that in that building. I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. I think we're going seven games. I'm going to love to see game number seven with Nikola Jokic saying, you know what? It's me versus you, SGA. May the best man win and move on to the Western Conference Finals.
4.5-point spread for game number six at altitude, where the rest of this second round series stands. We'll tell you on the other side of the break, live right here on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
A decisive game five last night in OKC. The Thunder win it by 7. Denver does cover as a 10-point underdog. Oh, by the way, last three games have all hit the under. Game three's total was 232, and despite going to OT, still stayed under at altitude. Last night's total, 221 in a hook, does stay under as well. OKC wins by 7, 112-105 to take that decisive 3-2 series advantage. OKC entered last night, DRS, a minus 620 series outright favorite to win this set, despite it being tied at two games apiece. Now just needing one more win to get to the Western Conference Finals. What is that updated series price? -1800. Now, the Thunder have been at least a six-point favorite in all five games of this series. They have been a substantial favorite. But to Donnie's point, Denver is covered in four of the five games in this set. What's the line for game number six tomorrow night? Back in Mile High at altitude in Denver? Only 4.5. Yes, the Thunder are favored on the road to clinch a spot in the Western Conference Finals, but it's the shortest spread we have seen so far in this conference semifinal series.
Ah, the rent's too damn high, Ben. -1800 for OKC to have a game number seven where anything can happen. Oh, what do you mean, Donnie, game seven? There's still a game number six. I get that. But if I'm looking at this series, I think it's going seven, which I think the Denver Nuggets win in game number six. And even if I do think that, it will be the decided advantage. And what's the spread going to be in game number seven if everybody's healthy? 9.5? 10 points in that spot. I'm taking the Denver Nuggets. Let's just say I think it goes seven and don't think the Denver Nuggets win, but I'll take the Nuggets to cover in game number six because, yes, they have to win that game technically to force a game number seven. And if it does get to a game number seven, I'm going to take the Denver Nuggets again close to double-digit points, which is what they will be getting here in a winner-take-all game, which, correct me if I'm wrong, OKC is not used to that. OKC is not used to playing in the Western Conference Finals, winning championships, having MVP awards given out to their players just yet at this point right now. So for me, I'm looking more towards a Denver Nuggets price at +980, even if I don't know if they can win that game number seven. As I said, I'm looking to take the points in six and seven, and I'll let it sit there with the Denver Nuggets.
What is the price basically for us to go the distance in the second round series? The Nuggets money line number +160 for game number six back on their home floor tomorrow night in Denver. DRS, the early money backing the Nuggets, 82% of the money on the spread backing Denver with the 4.5 points, 76% of the overall volume of bets backing Denver as well. Again, OKC, the NBA's best team and best cover team in the regular season. They hammered Memphis in their opening two games of this playoff run. They still swept the Grizz in that series. They won their first two games by at least 19, including 52 in game number one over the Grizz, comfortably covering as hefty favorites. Now, Donnie, just one cover in their last seven games in the postseason. That was game number two in the 43-point rout in this series over the Denver Nuggets. I think we might see seven. It is interesting seeing where the odds are right now. 4.5 only in favor of Oklahoma City and a lot of public betting love on the Denver Nuggets. It's very clear when you look at where the Nuggets play at their best. Is it 44 points at Nikola Jokic? That always helps. But you need guys like Aaron Gordon and you need Michael Porter Jr. pouring in more than just 2 points. Jamal Murray, not overly efficient last night, DRS, in OKC. Mm-hmm. Still did finish with 28, but you need everybody if you are going to beat this talented Oklahoma City team.
I certainly do, and also understand this. Typically, when you are home, your bench players or B players play much better than when they're on the road. That home crowd is going to be something to watch. And again, it's not just the home crowd cheering on and being loud. You do have the distinct advantage in the NBA playing at elevation. That's your court here. That's your advantage. So if the legs are a little bit tired on both teams going back to Denver, you know who's used to playing in the elevation in Denver? Yeah, it's the Denver Nuggets at this point. So they are a slight underdog. That game will be tight all the way through. You will get their best punch, and also understand this. We're not coming off of the game number five where the Denver Nuggets got blown out. We don't know what to expect from the Nuggets. We know what to expect from the Nuggets. They can win in game number six. They have one at home already, and they can force a game number seven, which would be fantastic to watch it play out. So for me, expect a monster performance from Nikola Jokic, but also, as Ben said, somebody else has to step up. Can Jamal Murray get into the low 30s? Can Aaron Gordon get into the mid-20s? Somebody help Jokic out in game number six. That will give us a game number seven.
The Thunder, a win away from the Western Conference Finals, -260 in favor of OKC to claim that Western Conference crown. The T-Wolves tonight back home in Minneapolis have a chance to pull off the gentleman's sweep over the Golden State Warriors, more than likely without Steph Curry. A little bit of life, but albeit very long numbers on Denver and Golden State. To Cleveland we go next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The other number one seed in competition last night in the NBA postseason, that being the Cleveland Cavaliers, back on their home floor with a good bit of injury news. Donovan Mitchell ready to go for game number five with the Cavaliers despite a 64-win regular season on the brink of elimination. An early DRS in game number five, it seemed as though the Cavs understood the moment in the atmosphere of which they were playing. They led by 19 early in the second quarter, but then the Indiana Pacers showed their might and their own playoff pedigree, advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals with a rally for a second consecutive year and a 115-105 win outright in the land. Indiana wins outright as an 8.5-point underdog. A total of 231 stays well under. DRS with the return of Donovan Mitchell. That line kept working to the Cleveland Cavaliers, despite 81% of the bets thinking Indiana was the right side and would clinch this series in only five games. It felt very much like the public versus the odds makers. The public and the Pacers got that edge last night. Indiana back into the Eastern Conference Finals for a second consecutive year, and albeit with some bad injury luck, the Cleveland Cavaliers' season ends in wild disappointment after a 64-18 mark and becoming that one seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, if Cleveland wasn't injured in the playoffs here, they would be moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals, and we'll see about the Boston Celtics.
Sure.
But those were the two teams there. They were fantastic. Like, if we had a healthy Donovan Mitchell, he's not going 8 for 25 last night. He probably goes for 50-plus points, and they win that game. Like, even in game number two, where they were so many players down, he was like, dude, I'm the best player on the court by a wide margin, and they still should have won that game and blew it. Like, it's crazy that some of these teams, like the Pacers and or the Knicks that we'll talk about, where it's like, man, we're down so many points against a better opponent here, and the ability just to claw back and win those basketball games on the road are unbelievably impressive. But it's just a shame that we never got to see the full force Cleveland Cavaliers outside of the first round, because a healthy Garland, a healthy Mitchell, you know, other players that can really step up. It's a shame it happened. But again, you had a big lead in your own building and you let that slip away. I don't care who is on the basketball court at that point yesterday. And you take a look at that Donovan Mitchell, 4 of 13 from three-point range. What was that, one of his first 11 here? Like, he didn't start making three-point shots until the very end of that basketball game. And even in a pivotal moment, he gets fouled on a three-point shot and misses three consecutive free throws in a big moment. Now, the next series, he comes down, drops a three. Like, oh, he made up for it. Well, how about if he made the three free throws, then hit the three, then we're at a tie ball game, and now you have momentum back on your side for the final few moments of that basketball game. Credit the Indiana Pacers for going on the road in a game five, knowing you would get the kitchen sink thrown at you, and you did in the first half, and you still came away with a victory. That is a quality basketball team with a good starting five and players that understand how to step up and make big shots in big moments here. We're not taking anything away from the Pacers. I just wish the Cleveland Cavaliers had a fighting chance with their healthy players. That's all.
Yeah, and we'll never know, right? That's the story of it. However, Cleveland was fully healthy in game three. That was their only win in this series. Donovan Mitchell, though, was fully healthy in the first two games of this set. And to your point, DRS did not shoot it well from three in those first two games, despite a 48-point performance in game number two. He was 2 of 18 from deep. Got off to an atrocious start from beyond the arc yesterday before hitting some big threes down the stretch in the fourth and final quarter. But as Indiana had rallied from that 19-point second quarter deficit to take a double-digit lead late in the third quarter and early in the fourth, it was a little bit too late. What you're referencing there, Indiana up by 6, 106-100, with about a minute 47 seconds remaining in regulation. Donovan Mitchell fouled by Aaron Nesmith, misses all three free throws. But Spider got to the line, 15 of 21 last night. Those 21 free throw tries, nearly as many as Indiana as a team shot from the charity stripe, 22 as a whole. We will give credit to the Indiana Pacers. We will give credit to the man that is by far not the most overrated player in the association, Tyrese Haliburton, a 31-point performance in a series-clinching game. We will give credit to the Pacers, who have pulled off a gentleman's sweep over the Bucks and the Cavaliers in two consecutive playoff series to advance to their second consecutive Eastern Conference Finals berth. But DRS, where did things go wrong for the Cleveland Cavaliers after a 64-win season? Let's hear from the coach of the year himself in the NBA, Cleveland's head man in Kenny Atkinson.
I think they presented a physical challenge. That's probably the first off the bat. And to their credit, they kind of did it longer for, they could sustain longer than we could. So now that's not all physical, Chris. I think that part of that is mental, right? The mental strength to, that's part of our growth. We obviously got to get physically better, arrive physically better to compete with a team like this that plays at this high intense pace. And they're up here, guys. Like I know it. I know from the data. I know from watching film that they're up here and they can sustain it. It's I give them so much credit for being able to sustain that type of intensity for so long. Now we got to find a way to match it.
And part of that, DRS, as Kenny Atkinson was alluding to, is Indiana's depth. Their first win of their eight now in the postseason, where not six players scored in double figures, but everybody in the starting five for Rick Carlisle last night in double digits, and everybody with a positive plus minus of at least plus 10 for Cleveland. 64-win season comes to a close in round number two. In all 3 years that Donovan Mitchell has been in the land, the Cleveland Cavaliers have been a top four seed in the Eastern Conference and have been ousted by round number two. It has been the story for the Cavs, despite believing this year as the one seed out East, things would change.
Yeah, and also understand this too. When you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, they'll be back next year. And every year we enter into the season, could this be the Cavaliers' season to make a deep run? And it wasn't. The only reason it wasn't, because they ran into some injury situations. Now, also from a Pacers perspective as well, we talk about the Knicks in this. You need breaks, man, if you want to win a championship. They got a nice break in round number one. Dame Lillard out there still banged up and injured. And some really good breaks with injuries in round number two. And nobody's going to remember that years down the line if they cut down the Nets and they're the NBA world champions this year. You need breaks to get there, but also you want to take advantage of those breaks, which is exactly what the Pacers are doing. These aren't seven-game series like, oh, man, I can't even believe it. They blew a couple games. Like, no, they are handling their business and saying no excuses. Don't care who's on the court for your team. We're going to win, and we are going to advance at this point. Quality team here. Starting five, as I said, so versatile at this point. And also, how many times in the playoffs, Ben, we see like two or three guys come off the bench? How about one, two, three, four, five, six players played last night in a closeout situation on the road? And as you stated, everybody in the starting lineup at least double digits, and also double digits on their plus minus. That's the sign of a good, healthy team ready to roll.
Including a guy, dare I say, might be underrated by the NBA in Tyrese Halliburton. Six made threes last night, 31 points, and a best plus minus of plus 27 for Indiana. DRS, I think it's a great point, right? We can question what would have happened in this series had the Cavaliers been fully healthy, but I think we would have at least gone the distance either which way. For the Pacers to take advantage of that good injury luck and close these teams out in only five really speaks to what Indiana has done. We have highlighted maybe that the Pacers are being slightly overlooked by overall perception, by the odds, 5-2 outright as an underdog now in this playoff run, 20-18 straight up in their games as a dog all season long. Indiana on to the Eastern Conference Finals for a second consecutive year, but they are not the favorites to win the Eastern Conference crown. That is the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks now minus money to win the East. That's what the odds say at this moment at minus 110. Let's not forget, it was the Knicks and the Pacers in an awesome seven-game series in the second round last year in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Where things stand for New York because of the injury to Jason Tatum next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Our first spot in the conference finals booked last night by the Indiana Pacers, heading back to the ECF for a second consecutive year. It was the Pacers a season ago on the bad end of the injury bug. Tyrese Halliburton injured early in that Eastern Conference final set against the eventual champs in the Boston Celtics. The Pacers this time around taking advantage of the injury bug. And now it's the Boston Celtics, dealt a crucial blow at the end of game number four, now 2 days ago, inside Madison Square Garden against the New York Knicks. Of course, with just under 3 minutes remaining in regulation, Jason Tatum looking to grab a loose ball on a bad pass has ruptured his Achilles. The official word yesterday, he already underwent surgery on a Tuesday afternoon to repair that ruptured Achilles in his right leg. Of course, DRS, it goes without saying, Jason Tatum is out for the remainder of this postseason and will miss a fair share of time in 2025-26 as well. For a guy that really, in his 8 seasons all in Boston, has not missed a ton of action. We'll discuss that. But of course, DRS, bad news as expected, unfortunately, for Boston. Still with their season on the brink in a game five back in Beantown tonight.
Yeah, you know, an organization like pushes all their chips into the middle. Now was our time to make championship runs. We won it last year. We got a high payroll this year. It'll be a high payroll into the future. One of the more devastating things to happen, like you take a look at Damian Lillard, is you have a high-priced veteran that is not going to participate on your team the next season. It's almost a throwaway season. You can deal with like a second-year, third-year, really talented player because he's not going to eat up any part of the salary cap. You have guys that are making, what, $30, $40, $50, $60, $70 million a year that won't step out there on the basketball court. That is going to be a tough pill to swallow. And understand this, you do have to give credit to the Boston ownership group. Like, they are paying everybody max dollars to make sure they maximize exactly the amount of championships they feel like they can win, grabbing one last year. And it looks like one is possibly all they're going to get. And now the whispers that they like to say that roster is going to change next year, which means, do we have to get rid of a high-priced veteran so we can trade that off to get two more veterans back that might be not as good, but at least to have a semblance of a team as you wait for Jason Tatum to do his rehab and come back the following season? It's just a tough blow overall for the Celtics and their fans. And the season isn't even over. Like, oh, tore the Achilles, we lost to the Knicks, it's over. Like, no, you still got a game left in your building here to say,
for sure,
all right, we know what the end game's going to be. We're not winning this year. And oh boy, those doldrums that should happen tonight in the TD Garden, where the crowd energy will be there sort of, but they know the real deal is they ain't winning anything now.
Yeah, DRS, we talk about the response of a Celtics team. We've talked about it with Steph Curry exiting early in game number one against Minnesota. How do you kind of build that momentum and kind of put a Band-Aid on the wound as quickly as you can? Boston will attempt to do that in game number five, but I think early on inside TD Garden tonight, we'll see what the mentality is for the Seas. This is a crucial blow, not just for this playoff run, of course, but really putting Tatum's status in doubt for 2025-26, at least a fair majority of it. And as we shared earlier, DRS, Jason Tatum, third overall pick back in the 2017 NBA draft. In his 8 years in the league since entering the NBA in the 2017-18 campaign, he has played at least 64 games in every single season, including 72 in the regular season this year. His 706 regular and postseason games that he has played, more than anybody else in the association, goes to show you what Boston has done in the playoffs throughout Tatum's 8-year career in Beantown. Also goes to show you his reliability, his availability out there on the floor. When he missed that early round game against the Orlando Magic in round number one, I believe game two, DRS, with the wrist injury, that was the first playoff game Jason Tatum has missed in the entirety of his NBA career. Now, of course, out for the remainder of this postseason in many, many games in 2025-26. It will be interesting to see how the odds evaluate Boston moving forward. Because in their championship run, the record-setting 18th banner a season ago, the Celtics quickly became an odds-on favorite to win the East throughout that playoff run, an odds-on favorite to win the NBA championship, and they were seen favorably by the odds all year long. Odds-on favorites in the Eastern Conference back in January. One of the two best prices the entirety of this season to win an NBA championship. Now, a 26-1 price on the Celtics and the longest number of the three teams technically still remaining in the Eastern Conference at 8-1. Again, not overly optimistic, DRS, unfortunately so for the Celtics, but understandably so as well.
Yeah, by the way, looking at that graphic, like the Celtics should be behind the Warriors. The Celtics should be the 200-1 at this point right now. You say, well, why would that be? Well, yeah, both teams are looking to get closed out, but if the Warriors do somehow win this series, you know who's coming back? It's Steph Curry. If the Celtics somehow beat the New York Knicks, Jason Tatum's not coming back. It's like, I don't, the 26-1, like this is one of those where if you could walk into a casino or the FanDuel Sportsbook and vote no, would you have endless amounts of money?
Yeah.
Celtics at 26-1? You got to be kidding me. I would bet the absolute no with millions of dollars if I had it that they're not winning the NBA championship. They have zero shot to win the NBA championship. I'm shocked here that they're still at 26-1. Is this one of those things that you take a look at KenPom and say, hey, KenPom, the injuries factor in? No, the numbers are the numbers. Like, that's what it feels like right now. Like, we're not even factoring. Like, 26-1 right now should be the price if Tatum is fully healthy and they're just trying to come back in this series, let alone no Tatum here. Are those numbers that posted that before Tatum ever got injured? 26-1. You got to be kidding me with those prices.
At least probably behind the Denver Nuggets. We were talking the break, DRS, with our producer extraordinaire, Joe Friso. Is Boston going to have a top three, top four, top five price to win the Eastern Conference entering next year because Jason Tatum is going to miss a large chunk of it? That will be interesting to see. Still a lot of talent, right? Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Derek White. You still have a lot of key figures in a core that just won you an NBA championship, which has been the stunning thing, and the lack of resolve for the Celtics closing out games, including a healthy Jason Tatum in the first four games of this series. 4.5-point spread still in favor of the Seas in game number 5 tonight inside TD Garden to stave off elimination at least for one more night and for one more day against the New York Knicks. We'll talk about if even that number makes sense as we get ready to preview our NBA playoff action on this Wednesday evening a little bit later on in hour number 2. But a big day in Major League Baseball that we'll recap for you up next to end out hour 1 here on TDL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
A big day in Major League Baseball, a full Tuesday slate around the bigs, and a lot of late-game heroics, drama, and walk-offs to detail for you. But DRS, a really big day in the history of baseball as well. A stunning decision and a historic precedent set yesterday by MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, who removed Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and other deceased players from the league's permanently ineligible list on Tuesday. Manfred basically concluding that at the time of their death, because they can no longer harm the integrity of Major League Baseball in the sport as a whole, the punishment of being on the ineligible list really doesn't stack up any longer. So Pete Rose, MLB's all-time hits leader with 4,256. Guys like Shoeless Joe Jackson and a few of his teammates from the Black Sox scandal back in the early 1900s, they are now eligible for baseball's Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. DRS, what is your reaction to this historic precedent and decision set yesterday by Rob Manfred?
I think it's right. And also understand this. Like, Pete Rose has been a thorn in the side of Major League Baseball since that whole scandal went down. Let's understand that. This isn't just, hey, Pete Rose, hit king. He should be in there. Understand what actually happened through all those decades here with Pete Rose, which we are a society, and I always like to say this. We love for people just to admit when they're wrong, and when they do, unless it's the most heinous crime, we can move on from that. You can rehab. Pete Rose, day number one, he was found out gambling on Major League Baseball, which includes betting on and against the Cincinnati Reds, said, gambling addiction. I made the ultimate betrayal. I love this game of baseball. Please have mercy on me. In 10 years of that, he would have been reinstated in Major League Baseball and paraded around and immediately would have been selected for the Hall of Fame. But Pete Rose was doing things against Major League Baseball. Like, every time there would be a Cooperstown induction, he would have a book signing down the street to try to take away and say, I never bet on baseball or did this. And every time they asked him for an absolute admission that you bet on baseball and did the sport wrong, it was always some convoluted thing. I really didn't do anything wrong. And what's the big deal at this point? And also understand this. It does seem cruel that Pete Rose passes away and then they say you can get into the Hall of Fame. That's done by design. You weren't going to give Pete the gratitude of saying, hey, for 30 or 40 years, you shunned Major League Baseball and embarrassed us and expected us to put you in the Hall of Fame. But once he passed away, now they open it back up and say, all right, he can be voted. He's not getting put in the Hall of Fame today where it's like, hey, we're just going to put him in. He still has to be voted on, and that is certainly a lightning rod on both sides. But for me, it just comes down to it. The cardinal sin in Major League Baseball, and I equate it to college sports as well. You cannot take money in college football. Reggie Bush took money, illegally did that back in the day, burned up that USC trophy, and they eventually gave it back because now you can take money in college football, which makes absolutely no sense. The same thing with Pete Rose. For the people out there going like, well, everybody can bet on baseball. No, you can't. You still can't bet on Major League Baseball if you're a player on your team at this point right now. Pete took the cardinal sin, and for that alone, he should never be placed into the Hall of Fame. That's my opinion.
Yeah, just in comparison, DRS, what Reggie Bush did back in 2004 would now be easily permissible with the updated NIL rules in college sports. You can still not bet on baseball, bet on your own team or against your own team if you are a player and or a manager like Pete Rose was. Rose, at the age of 83 years old, passed away in Las Vegas at the end of September. Again, the precedent set by Rob Manfred yesterday was not a removal of the Pete Rose rule per se, that ineligible players on that ineligible list can be considered for Hall of Fame induction, but that at the time of their death, no longer being permanently ineligible makes sense for MLB. This is done after these players have passed away. For some, and it wasn't just Pete Rose, by the way, plenty others, including Shoeless Joe Jackson and many others involved in the Black Sox scandal of 1918 or 1919, this is now the case. And to Donnie's final point there, it is still going to be incredibly contentious if Pete Rose does get into Cooperstown. It will go to the Historical Overview Committee. They will make their response. Basically, Donnie, the earliest we could even see Pete Rose inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame is probably the winter of 2027.
Yes, and understand this, too, from Pete Rose's perspective, and I want to reiterate this. Like, if you admit that you are wrong, they will forgive. And once again, like, thumbed his nose for decades at Major League Baseball. That's why he was still on the banned list here, always not admitting it here, and then saying, well, sometimes, and understand this, too. Betting, I never bet against the Reds. Has the mob ever came to a player and said, hey, I'm going to bet on you to go over your points prop at 28.5? No! If you're in trouble, you always fade that team. So for him to say he only bet on the Reds to win, what a scam artist at that point, too. So it's what he does. Pete's always been a liar.
We'll talk more about it in hour two. Next.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.